I've got Richard Burrell sitting here in the studio with me. This is a different, we're talking about a different type of music all together, but some of my favorite music, and it has to do with Open Ears, the Open Ears Festival of music and sound. You have the Environmental Rhythms, I don't know, it's a weekend of percussion. So what, how did this come about? What is it and what can people expect?
Well, Peter Hatch came to me. Well, first off, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
My pleasure to have you.
Peter Hatch came to me about 2 years ago with the idea of presenting Inuksuit, which is a work by John Nuclear Adams for 9 to 99 percussionists.
Wow.
So we decided if we're going to arrange to have this many percussionists come to the Waterloo region, let's make more of it and really make a festival of sound, really representing exactly the ideas of what percussion can be.
Right.
So what we did was we talked to some community partners to get some sponsorship involved and then talked to some musicians that would be interested in being, you know, participating in this event. And we culminated over 70 percussionists from across Ontario, Quebec, and Alaska to come all the way to Waterloo Region to perform this work on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Now, in addition to this, we're bringing in Jesse Stewart and his trio with David Mott and Rob Clutton to perform at the Turret in a private session. We have a private room off to the side for a very special guest. So it's sort of like a welcome party, just an intimate atmosphere to welcome our 70 guests to Waterloo Region. And then we're going to finish off the night with a bang, and that'll be on Saturday night after the Inuksuit performance at 8 o'clock at Maureen Forrester Hall. We're performing, we have five performers on the bill, all professional percussionists playing some very, very interesting repertoire.
I'm going to. One thing, as a producer, I'm going to ask you to move back from the mic a
sure.
little bit.
Sure.
And sorry about that. And what kinds of, we're talking percussion here. What constitutes percussion?
Percussion can be anything that you can strike, anything you can hit, you can shake, you can scrape to produce any type of sound. We are really, percussion itself is limited only by the instruments that we play.
True.
Now, we can play garbage cans.
Yeah.
We can play timpani.
Yeah.
Right. And this piece, Inuksuit in particular, really challenges the listener and the performer to really be specific about their ideas of what is sound and what is music. It's broken up into three different groups of performers, and each of those groups of performers get a special group of instruments to play from. So in the beginning, you're going to hear people use megaphones, so they have cones over their mouth and breathing in and out, and which leads into group two playing with any kind of friction sound. So there'll be some snare drums rolling, some shakers shaking, some stones rubbing together, because it really is the idea behind John Luther Adams' music is about encompassing the environment and music together.
Right. Kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright in architecture?
Yeah.
God, that came off the... That's lofty, eh? That came off the top of my head.
Now, and the third group will have whirly tubes. So they have like an Aeolian sort of scale that they can play through. And we have some bull roars as well, the Australian native instrument.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just to start the entire piece off, just to create a really interesting vibe. And then we break into, there's going to be air raid sirens, there's going to be conch shells, there's over 100 drums that are going to be circled out in this massive space at the Rare Charitable Reserve in Blair, Ontario.
Okay, where about? It's in Blair, so whereabouts in Blair? That's a beautiful spot.
Absolutely. So we were very, very fortunate to be partners with the Rare Charitable Reserve.
Mm.
So this is a research reserve in Blair, just off of Blair Road.
Okay.
Where we're starting everybody off in this area, what is known as the Slip Barn. So there's a barn that's under construction right now, which has a large parking lot up front.
Okay.
So we'll have audience members are welcome to show up there, and we're going to guide people up the hill and about a 10-minute walk into the forest, into the fields to be presented this Inuksuit work. The performance itself is going to take place on an abandoned farmer's field over a 500-foot span of space. So you will see glockenspiels and drums and conch shells and air raid sirens spread throughout a field. all to culminate. This is a 75-minute work, and it starts at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
There's a pre-concert talk at 1 o'clock at a pavilion that's right near the site,
okay.
Which everything is highly labeled. There's going to be volunteers in place to guide people along the way. And the pre-concert talk is by Dr. Morris Palter, who's a head of percussion from the University of Alaska.
Right,
and
he
works in collaboration with John Luther Adams, so...
That's amazing. How are they going to... Okay, this is out in the middle of nowhere. So is there any... It's all natural sound.
There's no amplification.
There's no amplification whatsoever.
Yeah. Right. So, this is the idea of why you want to have mass numbers. So the amount of space that you take up is in relation to how many performers you have. So you can perform this with 9 people, but you're going to want to have a much tighter performance area to experience this. Now, given that we have over 70 performers, we're able to span this out into the masses, into naturalized areas. So we really can really push the boundaries of where sound is coming from. So,
okay, I have a question. What about the most natural instrument, the weather?
How
does that figure in?
Well, very interesting.
Because lately, it's been pretty crazy around here.
It has been pretty crazy. Fortunately for us right now, Saturday looks like it's going to be 20 degrees, sunny, with a partial cloud. Now I'm doing a weather.
Well, but you need to.
Yeah, we've been paying attention to this very meticulously. We will do this rain or shine. The only bearing there's any major thunderstorms or heavy rain, we'll certainly call it off.
I'm just thinking if it's like today was a little bit of, well, no, today was pretty bad, wasn't it? But you know those storms where you have a little tiny bit of thunder just in the background? That would work really well.
Very cool.
Yeah. That would go really well.
Absolutely.
All the percussive. Oh, my God.
John Luther Adams would be very, very excited to hear if we could get a thunderstorm to happen without torrential rains, for sure.
He can stand there going, okay, you, it's your turn, thunder. Come in now. But how long did it take you to put all of this together? I'm guessing.
This has been, we are very fortunate to have sponsors like the Kitchener-Waterloo Community Foundation.
Okay,
Moose Geddes Foundation,
yep.
As well as the Ontario Arts Council. We also have partners with the City of Kitchener and some percussion endorsers, Yamaha Canada Music,
right.
Dream Cymbals and Gongs, as well as Sound FM is helping us by promoting this work.
Yeah.
And all of these partners together have culminated to provide us with some fiscal opportunities to be able to bring in everybody. So the actual organization itself has happened for about a year.
Okay.
And so around approximately August of last year, we started initiating emails to people who would be interested in coming to Waterloo to perform this work. So once we realized how many performers were able to do this, we started to put all the numbers together. Okay, you're coming from Windsor,
you're coming from
Alaska, you're coming from Montreal. How do we get all of these people together and as well bring in all this gear?
Okay, because it's like a symphony of logistics.
It is a symphony of logistics. Yes, absolutely. So luckily, I would say, nothing has touched wood. There has nothing, no major qualms have come up. And I'm quite proud to say that it's been a fun ride. I would say that I excel at organizing, and so this certainly has tested that ability. So.
I'm guessing. Well, there is, so we have then we have the event with Jesse.
Yes.
Now, is the Inuksuit?
Inuksuit.
Inuksuit. That's kind of interesting. It's like a suite. The event with Jesse is at 8 p.m.
That is correct.
And can we talk a little bit more about Jesse?
Sure.
Okay. So, what do you want people what do you want people to know about Jesse Stewart?
Well, first off, Jesse is recently Juno nominated.
Yeah.
With his Stretch Orchestra trio. The Stretch Orchestra unfortunately will not be at this ensemble. Jesse is known for being a very versatile instrumentalist. He currently lives in Ottawa and is an associate professor at Carleton University.
Yeah.
So we brought Jesse in to set the, there's been a very intimate relationship with Open Ears. He used to be a past director of Numis.
I love Numis too.
So there's been some fantastic collaborations that have existed here in KW with Jesse Stewart. So we're very, very fortunate that he's able to come back and bring with him some fantastic musicians. David Mott is a fantastic saxophonist, and Rob Clutton is going to be playing bass. So this is going to be our welcome party on the Friday night. Tickets are available at the door at the Turret, which is known as a nightclub for Wilfrid Laurier, but we've got it set off as a little intimate party off to the side in a special private room. So
we're going to try and see. I'm going to see if I can find some Jesse Stewart on here, too, so we can play some of his work so people can get an idea what he sounds like, because it's pretty neat. Yeah, I think this is really cool. And then you have there's one more event.
Yeah, that's so on Saturday night, we have the Natural Resources performance, where we're bringing a culmination of all the pros who we've brought in. So on the program is going to be Torque Percussion Quartet, which is a quartet that I'm actually a part of. Mm-hmm. And then we have, as well on the program, we have Nicholas Papador, who's a professor of percussion from Windsor. We have Ayun Wang, who's a professor of percussion from McGill. Then we have Insert Title, which is this phenomenal marimba duo named Greg Samick and Ben Dunker. Ben is in Montreal and Greg is in Toronto, and these guys are just phenomenal. They actually just came back from Luxembourg, where they won an audience prize at the International Marimba Duo Competition.
So
these guys are heavy. And then, of course, Morris Poulter, who we're bringing in from Alaska, is going to do some works by some contemporary artists. So it's quite amazing. It's going to be a fantastic
show. So it's all
show.
In one day. This is all in one day.
Well, the Saturday.
No,
yeah.
Saturday,
so
Sunday?
It's Friday. So we have Friday night. It's a Friday
night,
evening
Friday,
and then Saturday.
Thing.
Saturday is a full day for sure for anybody. We're really pushing the envelope. But that's, you know, percussionists are used to having to schlep gear all day and get practicing, get up, and then we'll have a nice little gathering at the end of the evening to celebrate in this percussiveness. So.
Well, I think it's really neat. The Open Ears has developed an audience here over the years as well. And recently, this is an event called sort of Between the Ears.
Between the Ears, yes.
So while I'm trying to find some Jesse Stewart here, can you tell the listeners how Between the Ears came to be, because it's a really interesting collaboration between two amazing organizations in town.
Yeah, absolutely. So most recently, Open Ears has decided to collaborate with the CAFCO organization, which is a contemporary art forum here in Kitchener. And we're still in the beginning process of developing this relationship. CAFCO will be running a full month-long festival in June this summer, whereas Open Ears runs biannually. So they come every 2 years. They will have a full festival-length program. Now, Peter Hatch has always been the artistic director, and we've put together these little small mini festivals in between that are called Between the Ears.
These
festivals are much smaller in scale, but nonetheless maintain the integrity of what Open Ears is about, and that's challenging the listener to think about music in a different way, think about the concert hall in a different way,
and
presenting things that wouldn't traditionally be in a concert hall, but might be out in the rare charitable reserve.
I'm going to try and find Jesse. It's for people that are first going to Open Ears, they kind of go, what? But it basically opens your ears. Like, you hear music from a different perspective. And sometimes, especially if it's in the street, sometimes the noises of the street kind of are in sync with the noise from the Open Ear concert, which I find really interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and that has a lot to do with Peter Hatch's vision and his compositional background. I mean, there have been the forefathers of composition like John Cage and Steve Reich, who have sort of, and you know, all of these ideas of challenging what is sound. There's Edgar Varèse. We have, off the top of my head, Lou Harrison, Lamont Young, all these early composers in the 50s and 60s were starting to challenge, you know, what is music and really thinking about what are instruments themselves. And, you know, you had guys like Lou Harrison were creating the American gamelan based on out of garbage cans that were used as resonators and long pieces of metal. And I mean, these guys were geniuses of their day.
Who's the guy that came in? He came in for Blue Dot. Is it Gord? Was it Gord Callahan? Is that what you just mentioned? He swings a speaker around, a couple speakers around, and he makes this amazing noise. And it was part of Open Ears a couple of years
Gord
ago.
Gord Monaghan.
That's right.
Yes.
That is something to see.
Yes.
For one thing, the audience is going, oh, wow. Like they're seeing the actual physical thing, like, oh my God, what if those speakers, like, what if something goes flying? And then the other part of the audience is going, wow, like, it's just this amazing whirring noise, right? And the things that can be made with, the noises that can be made with any object are endless. Everything has a noise to itself.
I was actually just at a concert this past weekend in Toronto. A very close friend of mine who's in Torque, Dan Morphy, put on a concert for contemporary percussion, and there's an opening act of his from Diego Espinoza, who's another performer who will be here from Montreal. He's a percussionist working on his doctorate at McGill, and he's born in Mexico City, studied in the Netherlands, and he's actually collaborated on a piece where he puts thimbles on his fingers and plays a speaker. And so he basically creates a low drone on a speaker, a fundamental low enough that the human ear can't hear it. But then what he does is he actually places thimbles on the speaker and has a contact mic that picks up the vibrations of these thimbles off the speaker. So it's quite amazing to start to challenge, you know, there's this sort of irony, I guess it is, to say that he's using the speaker to create the sound as opposed to having the speaker come through the sound, you know, so
it's
sound come through the speaker.
It is cool. And humans have a different way of listening to music. I saw Laurie Anderson recently. I don't know if you saw that concert.
I wasn't here, but I've heard great, phenomenal things about them.
I think her dog actually composes music. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, how can a dog compose music? That's crazy. Do you have a Jesse Stewart? Do you know of a Jesse Stewart piece that I can play here?
Oh, I'm not sure what do you have anything from Stretch Orchestra off the top of your
head? You know what? I'll look. We're still looking here on the old, radio's changed so much from, you know, vinyl, which I still play, to calling it up online and finding anything you want. You know, it's great. No.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, hold on.
From the work, inputs, what we think, what we do, who we are as individuals and as people.
On May 11th and 12th, the Open Ears Festival of Music and Sound, in collaboration with Wilfrid Laurier University, will present Environmental Rhythms, a weekend of percussive performances about and in the environment.
This brief festival includes a performance of Alaskan composer John Luther Adams' monumental and widely acclaimed work, Inuksuit.
A percussion concert in the Maureen Forrester Recital Hall at Laurier featuring performances by Torque. Insert title, Morris Palter, Nicholas Papador, and Awen Huang, and performances by the Jesse Stewart Trio featuring David Mott and Rob Clutton at the Turret. For tickets and more information, visit openears.ca.
Okay, we're gonna try this one more time here. I think I got something here. It looks like this could be Jesse, so let's give this a shot. There's Jesse Stewart on Coral FM, I think.
There were nearly 100 first-time Juno nominees at this year's Juno Awards. I'm here with a first-time nominee, now a first-time winner. Carleton professor Jesse Stewart and his band Stretch Orchestra won Instrumental Album of the Year for their self-titled debut. So, Jesse, how do you feel about the win?
Well, obviously, I'm very pleased. Yeah, our initial reaction was really sheer surprise, and we were quite shocked, actually, to have won. Obviously, very, very happy as well.
And how do you feel personally about being a first-time Juno Award winner?
One thing that became really clear to me, and I guess I already knew this, but it was made even clearer still, is the breadth and also the depth of musical talent in this country, in every genre. That was something that was really impressive to me and made a big, it was something I took away from it. I was really impressed with the caliber of the musicians that are performing in this country. I think, you know, per capita, I think, you know, Canada has got to be one of the most successful countries on earth when it comes to musicians doing exceptionally well.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse.
Pleasure, thank you.
That's a little piece with Jesse Stewart, and I'm going to find some of his music, but we're going to talk a little bit about ticket prices. Richard, where can people, if they want to get tickets for this, where can they find tickets?
Great. So you can go to openears.ca to purchase tickets online. Each event has their own ticket pricing. We have a special event, special ticket pricing for students in high school or elementary school through igo.org. And you, those are available for $5.
Yeah, which I think is a great program.
It is a fantastic program. You can also buy a $50 pass for the entire weekend, so you can get access to all three events. And this can all be purchased through online sales through openears.ca. There will be tickets available at the door, though, as well.
Okay. If people want to go out to the reserve, do you guys have any buses or anything running out
there? Absolutely,
we okay.
do. Great question. We actually have a bus. We have two buses leaving from Kitchener City Hall.
Okay.
And there's going to be evident signage out. I believe it's called the Forester lot there's a parking lot basically across the street from City Hall.
Okay.
It's either to the east or the west, and there'll be two Cherry Bus Lines is going to be is a sponsor for our event, and they're going to be providing a free bus ride from Kitchener City Hall, leaving around 12:15 approximately, heading straight to Rare Charitable Reserve, and then they will be returning back to Kitchener City Hall approximately about 4:00. After the events are finished. So.
Yeah, because there might be a lot of people that are like, oh, I want to go, but I don't know how to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is parking, too. If people don't want to take the bus, there is parking available at the Slip Barn, which is off Blair Road in Blair, Ontario. So you can, and then there'll be ample signage and volunteers in place to direct you through the woods, up the hills to find the Inuksuit experience. So we're very excited to have this happen.
Well, this is great. I want to thank you so much for coming in to talk to me. This has been awesome. I will call up some Jesse Stewart because he does sound pretty, it's amazing the stuff that he does. And I'm looking, we can't really talk too much about Inuksuit because, Inuksuit. Why can't I pronounce that? Because it's an improvisational work. And
yeah.
So it hasn't been recorded yet. So we can't even play parts of it.
Yeah.
But, once it has been performed, are they going to maybe record it not as it's being performed, I guess? Or are they?
Yeah, there's actually a project happening this summer in the States in the Vermont Forest where they're going to be having numerous mics set up. It's a very interesting concept because Inuksuit is special every time it's performed, particularly in the fact that the audience members don't have any position to sit in. They can be in the center of the circle. They can walk around. They can be on the outside of the experience. There, each person has their own journey through this 75-minute work. So recording it is you're going to have a very... I'm not quite sure what the word is, but it would be, you know what I mean. It's going to be the same way every time you listen to it, but that's not necessarily what the Inuksuit experience is about.
No.
It's about the live, being able to change your oral perception as to where you stand within the environment and what instruments people choose and where they even perform the work. It has been performed indoors. There is on YouTube, you can see a 15-minute shortened version of the Inuksuit performed at an armory in New York City, which has created a whole different ambiance because of the reverb off the ceiling and stuff. So it was another perspective on what is sound and how to perform the work. So,
and because it's improvised music, the musicians, as they go, the energy, it's like theater. The energy, anything around, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever environment you're in, what the audience gives you a different energy, the musicians feel a different energy, and sometimes they go out on a tangent that they kind of have to fall. It's very instinctual.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I should make a note that the improvisation comes from each individual player themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There is set music, and there is an event map that they follow.
Okay.
And so the music actually looks
sort of
like...
points?
They look like a Inuksuit. So the actual sculpture, the Inuit sculptures, this music looks like that shape. And if performers or audience members come to see, they can actually go and look at the music while the performers are playing. So where the improvisatory elements come from is that they're basically, each performer is allowed to choose the lines that they perform on and what sections they play. So there's a bit of a call and answer idea with, you know, using your ears to listen to your surroundings. And the timings are not necessarily always the same because it is dependent upon how quickly everybody gets into each section. So it's going to be very interesting.
It is. And I found a wee... I found a little excerpt that we can use to give people an idea of what it might sort of sound like. But again, it's not going to sound like this because it'll be an entirely different environment. It'll be outside, and this is indoors.
Yeah.
But so here's a little bit of John Luther Adams, and this is what people might sort of like. It's kind of a semblance of what you might expect on Saturday afternoon. Well, I want to thank you so much for dropping by. This has been great, and I wish you all the best. With Open Ears and Kafka, everything coming up, please stay in touch with the radio station because, you know, we'd love to bring anybody in we can to come
and chat,
to play live, to do whatever they want, because Open Ears has been in this area. I'm trying to think how old it is. Because
since 98.
Since 1998, and it's every second year.
Yeah.
Kafka is every year.
That's correct.
So it'll be every... It'll be
every 2 years still that there's the collaboration involved, but we're still in the works of seeing how this collaboration will work in terms of because there's so many sound installations and then
sound installations and the visual
sort of borders that idea of contemporary art and contemporary music. So that's where the collaborative component comes into place.
It's quite funny too because I think Kafka was it something in downtown Waterloo? I think it was like suitcases or something was up in the air. And it looked like people were upset. They thought it was somebody had thrown garbage up the, and it was Kafka messing around, right?
Yeah,
and I just look at it and it's Kafka.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff in the downtown of the city hall. There's things there's like letters across the pond. That's Kafka. You know, it's cool to be able to walk down your street and go, that's not always there all the time. It's fun. It's Kafka. I'm sure it is. Either that or someone's, you know, I thought at one point Ted Fullerton has his sculpture down by King at Ebi of the it's called Animus, I think. Animus, something like that. Anyway, there's a guy sitting way, way up high in a chair on a pole, but you have to look up to see it, but it's like, whoa. It's like the statues on the side of the parking garage downtown.
Right.
Same guy, same artist.
Right.
You know, and it's very fun and very whimsical. So this marriage of the two organizations, I think, is a really great idea.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I hope we see you again sometime soon, and I wish you guys all the best, and please stay in touch. And here is a little bit of John Luther Adams on Coral FM.